he sacrificed himself for love of her, like an idiot. And she was kind of like, well, that kind of sucks, but YOLO.
What does YOLO mean? That's
You only live once.
YOLO. That's something that
idiots say.
that the
That
people that play with
horrible people
knights.
say. What?
It's not the cosplay knight guys that attack people with
Yeah,
swords.
that's like what hipsters say, like before they like jump out of a plane.
Oh, YOLO?
YOLO.
What is the thing that people say?
LARPers. Those are
What
what, LARPing?
LARPers say?
Oh. I don't know. I have
They
no
say
idea.
for virginity.
No. You guys say it sometime too. It's like some like an exclamation, like an anti.
Huzzah! Oh,
Yeah,
huzzah!
huzzah!
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that more than anything.
I say
Dummy.
that like at least once a day.
I
I say
think
it
that
all the
is,
goddamn time.
nerdy for nerds. I don't like it.
Yes, huzzah is extremely nerdy.
Hey,
Yeah.
there is nothing wrong with that.
I didn't say there's nothing wrong, anything wrong with it. I just
Yeah,
said
but
it's very
Justin hates
nerdy.
it.
I do. It is like daggers entering my ears when I hear it. I think it is so nerd bomber.
Huzzah!
Bad. It's so bad.
I'm gonna say it like
I'm gonna
nine
say it
times
all the
today.
time, yeah.
Seriously, yeah, I'm gonna try to drop it in every episode now.
Do it. I have the magical edit button.
Yeah, I'll do it like
Who's
subliminally
doing
while
the
you're talking about
opening?
something really important. God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you wanna go!
No, I slept with like three girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin.
You know
I like
what?
it.
Do you want to keep going? Hello, geek boys and girls, and welcome to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Amanda, and as always, I'm joined by Dave, Justin, and Randy. How are you guys?
Fabulous.
Huzzah!
Woo!
Great, great, thanks.
YOLO.
Oh,
I'll take words
YOLO
Justin needs for
indeed.
500.
sorry, I'm
It's like, where do
really
you go from
tired.
there?
I'm really
Instantaneous derailed.
Oh, it's fine.
What I meant to say was a lot of fun stuff has been happening over the past week, not the least of which was the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes came out in theaters. What say you, gentlemen? What did you think of the movie?
It was good. I liked it quite a bit. I think Andy Serkis is pretty amazing, and we've talked about him before and how he's changed the way voice acting should be done in movies. The guy is brilliant.
Says a lot that we know a motion capture artist. So clearly
Yeah.
he's doing something right, and he's obviously good because he doesn't ever appear on screen. He's just like the way, I mean, he does in like cameos and stuff, but like the mere fact that we know a motion capture artist means that he's doing a pretty good job.
Absolutely. I got chills every time he spoke.
It's an ape talking. It's supposed to be a little out of the ordinary. No, but it was awesome. The visuals were fantastic. I have to say, I was highly impressed with the look of the apes and definitely the sound of the apes.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for Planet of the Apes. It was always fun for my dad, and like we always used to watch them together and stuff like that. So I took him to see it, and so it was kind of a double-edged sword. It was a little nostalgia, and plus it was a great movie. So yeah, I walked out of it thoroughly happy, thoroughly impressed, and I can't wait for the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen a lot of the other ones, the old ones from like the 60s and 70s and stuff?
Oh yeah, I probably watch it like once a year with my dad.
Okay, cool. I have a question for you then.
Oh shit.
There were certain points in this movie, in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, that the music got really weird and it sounded very like 60s-esque. And I wasn't familiar with the original series enough to know if they were like calling back old themes.
It was.
Yeah, there was definitely some throwbacks.
Okay, cool. Because there were points in the music that just did not sound like it came out of a modern movie, and I figured it had to have been some sort of like reprisal of some sort of theme from the 60s.
Yeah, it was when like the apes were on the move, and it kind of does like this ooh, do, 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 kind of music,
Yeah.
and not quite George of the Jungle, more creepy,
Yeah.
and totally, absolutely. And in fact, there was even elements of the fourth and fifth Planet of the Apes movies kind of incorporated into this story.
Yeah. So did you not, you haven't seen the originals, Randy?
I've seen bits and pieces, and it's been a long, long, long time.
Oh, wow. You should check them out. Two of them are amazing. One of them is good, and two are just so-so.
Yeah. Is that pretty much in the order that they came out? The first two are good. The third one's okay.
Actually, the third one might be my favorite. Really? The third one's actually set in like 1984. So, spoiler alert. So the first one, you know, obviously you know how it ends. Like, you damn you all to hell. So you find out it's Earth, and the second one is this just weird, stupid story. And then the second one kind of ends with them like destroying the world, but two apes go back in time to 1984, and they kind of can become celebrities. And
three of them do, but one of them dies.
Yeah, it's a lot like Star Trek IV, like A Voyage Home, just kind of like that fish out of water story. So it's pretty cool. It's called Escape from Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all pretty fun. I've seen them all a million times too, and they used to be on like on Saturdays. They'd show them all or something like that, and then they'd be like
that. Like 13.
Yeah, or they would be like the movies of the week kind of thing, and it would be Monday through Friday, and each day was a new 8 movie.
Yeah.
Like on an 8, and then after it was over, it'd be like Hal Fishman doing the news.
I'm Hal Fishman. Probably Stu Nahan was there.
No, I think he was done by then.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah. Good stuff. I enjoyed the shit out of it. It was fun. And I got a little choked up a couple of times. What's his name? Gary Oldman. That guy likes being a dick.
Yeah, serious. But, okay, you know what really bothered me about the end when they have all that C4 and they're going to, spoiler alert, they're planning on taking down the building, the tower where all the apes are congregating up top. That is a hell of a lot of C4, and if it was set off in that proximity to any kind of humans, no one would survive that, even if he just dove around a corner.
That's all you
remember,
need.
Remember, this is a movie about talking apes. Talking apes.
I'm just saying. Plot hole. Okay. When the one ape is riding the horse and he's got a machine gun in each hand and he's just firing wildly and there's like zero recoil, that bothered me too.
Well, he's really strong.
He's
able to stop the recoil.
Yeah.
There's a lot of recoil for you because you have puny little man hands and he... He has got these giant chimpanzee hands.
I will rescind my criticism on that particular point because I do have puny little man hands. But
they entered in the infinite ammo code on their game genie.
And a shocking lack of shell casings coming out of all these machine guns.
It was happening too fast. Yeah. You were fixated on how amazing the chimps looked.
I just said about how great the movie looked, but there's a lot of little things that I picked. You know, I've become hypercritical of certain kinds of effects just because of the fact that I'm toying with doing that myself, and it's like I pick up on all this little shit now that I never used to notice.
It's a curse.
And apparently it is affecting my enjoyment of the film.
Sweet, Planet of the Apes, good stuff.
I like it.
What else you got, Amanda? What about the Nublar? The Nublar candy bar?
Look at Isla. Isla and Nublar. Jurassic Park.
Not Isla Bonita.
Or Isla Sonora.
Huh?
That's Site B.
That's where the Lost World took place.
Oh, yeah. The Lost World mini map extravaganza tour guidebook thingy.
You were here for the opening, right?
Yeah.
Even Randy we were talking about.
Yeah, well, it's like the ones they have at Disneyland.
Yeah, with the map.
But there's less stuff
that leaks in there. Talking about that candy bar.
Yes, Alpine White.
Because you can say the name of the island.
Nublar. No, I could say the name.
It just makes them hungry. It makes them crave white chocolate.
I didn't know what a Nublar was. I was asking, what does Nublar mean? I'm under the assumption that every word has some kind of meaning, and I was curious what Nublar meant. That was how that started.
And then we told him.
You said that it's just the name of the island. That doesn't answer what a Nublar is.
And then I translated it for you like a good soldier that I am.
I don't think so. What does Nublar mean?
I don't know. I gotta look it up again.
Nublar means it's more Nubal. Like I'm Nublar than you. Oh. I'm more Nublar than you.
Took a class.
Phonics.
It means Cloud Island.
Nublar means Cloud Island.
Guess so.
Where are you getting this information from?
Jurassic Park Wiki. That's legit.
Sounds fake.
Does.
So anyway, yeah.
Jurassic Park is becoming a reality.
Oh shit, let's go. They have the reverse petting zoo.
And the Jurassic World Twitter
where the dinos pet you.
Pictures of the brochure.
That's awesome. Park. It looks so cool. I swear to God. And then the cool thing that really helps sell it too, makes it look like it's straight out of reality, is all the big corporate sponsors on it, like FedEx and Starbucks and United Airlines or whatever airlines it is. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm starting to really like the concept of Jurassic World, in that the park becomes a reality and people actually get bored of seeing dinosaurs. And that's why they have to like make the new dinosaur that causes all the shit to go to hell. But I think it's just John Hammond's dream comes true. Everyone's excited for a couple years, and then we get bored.
And then people start dying.
Yeah, hold on, your butts. But not Chris Pratt, hopefully.
I like the little wristbands that it shows in the last tweet. Yeah. I want one of those.
Yeah.
Snap bracelets. Get you in Fast Pass, probably.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Oh, I see. With the little bottom logo? Yeah. The snap bracelet? Yeah.
Like there's a golf course.
Those bracelets are cool. They ought to implement something like that at Comic-Con.
You gotta hit the ball through the dinosaur's mouth and then it goes into the hole?
Yeah, they do offer full caddy services.
The dinos carry your bags?
That would be rad.
A little umbrella? You ride your dinosaur to the next hole?
Yeah. A little Gallimimus or something?
Yeah, something. It has to be something harmless. And fast.
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
Do it.
Jurassic World, sorry. New Chris Pratt. He's the man.
Like Amanda Bynes.
What? Oh, it's like, how did you get there? But I forgot about that movie.
What about Game of Thrones, Amanda? This isn't a Geek Legacy podcast until we talk about Game of Thrones.
Oh my god, Game of Thrones. So, over the weekend, some casting news broke. Apparently, the Oscar-winning actress of Whale Rider, Keisha Castle Hughes, has been cast in Game of Thrones for next season. She will most likely be playing one of Oberyn Martell's bastard daughters, otherwise known as the Sand Snakes, because they're super conniving and the bastard surname in Dorne is Sand. So, Sand Snakes. Haha, get it?
I do. She gets naked a lot. She has the sexo for the first, like, 1,000 pages of that book.
Well, we don't know if she's going to be that character, but that seems to be where public opinion is heavily weighted towards.
I think I missed something, because when I was reading these books, I thought that they were much darker-skinned people. I don't know why, but I thought that they were just...
Like olive skin.
Yeah, more of the olive skin, as opposed to just tan. I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. I didn't really read... I think what they decided for the show was that Dorne is going to be more of a, like, sort of Spanish culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't read the Dornish that way.
I always read Braavos as like Spaniards.
Yeah. But whatever. I mean.
Cool.
I assume George R. R. Martin signed off on this. But anyway, I just went down like this Game of Thrones, what do you call it, rumor mill hole. But if you are interested in reading more about this, you can check out the article on the website. I don't want to go too much into it because there's a lot of spoilery stuff that started flying around after the announcement. So if people are trying to...
Including our pre-show.
Yeah. Mm. If people are trying to keep themselves spoiler-free, then I'll endeavor to assist them and not accidentally spoil everything for them. Sorry, Randy.
That was my fault.
Okay.
I was like, that was the person that so dies, and right? And this happened. I forgot that you hadn't read it. Apologies.
It's okay. It's my fault.
But, speaking of TV, also this weekend.
And she was nominated for an Oscar. She didn't win the Oscar.
She didn't win the Oscar for Whale Rider?
No.
Whoops.
We reported that she did, so maybe she did. We can be like Florida, where we declare the new president.
I think Miss Charlize Theron would have umbrage with us for giving away her Oscar.
I apologize for my lack of
knowledge of Charlize Theron Oscars.
No.
Was it 2 Days in the Valley that she won her Academy Award for?
The Charlize Theron?
Yeah. Or was it Italian Job?
Yeah, Italian Job was an amazing movie, but it was for Monster.
In other TV news, the BBC released a full-length trailer for the new series of Doctor Who, which will be starring Peter Capaldi as the Doctor.
Also known as the Last Doctor's grandfather.
Because he's old.
You got it. Thought it was
personally, I think it's refreshing. Peter Capaldi is a very good actor, and I kind of like the gravitas that he's bringing to the role. And this trailer actually made me interested again in watching Doctor Who. I actually wasn't super jazzed about watching the new season, but now I'm looking forward to it more. So he's doing a pretty good job already.
Cool.
Yeah, that was a decent trailer. Obviously, I have no basis of, because I don't watch the show, of, you know, what I was looking at, but.
Yeah. There will be dinosaurs and Daleks and some weird metal guy with a glowing purple forehead. That should be cool. We'll see.
Yeah!
J.K. Rowling wrote another story about Harry Potter that she put on Pottermore.
What? What's a Pottermore?
Yeah. It's her special website for the biggest Harry Potter fans in the world.
What? It's not the Leaky Cauldron?
The Leaky Cauldron's free. Pottermore is not.
Are you serious? You got to pay money for Pottermore?
Yeah. It's a subscription.
How many quid is that?
It's a quid pro quo.
So, what is their money? What's their galleons? What is their money in Harry Potter?
They have gold galleons and, like, silver stags.
Don't they have, like, nuts and berries or something? I thought
they have, like, bronze nuts.
Yeah, how much is a bronze nut?
They do have a free account, but, I mean, obviously, you only have certain access, I think.
Can someone copy and paste the material? Like, can I read it somewhere else, or is it am I bound to...
I don't know.
Can somebody that pays for this website please email me their login so I can log in and read this shit?
Wait, no, it's free.
It is.
All of Pottermore.
You're such a liar, Dave.
What a little liar.
That's what I do.
No, I remember hearing there was some sort of service you had to pay for on there as well.
There are
accounts. It's saying
like a premium account or something.
Yeah, if you want like the annotated.
Sign up for a free account.
Yeah, you can get a free account, but if you want like the annotated like novels and like the ebooks and stuff like that, you have to sign up for service.
Well, of course.
But I mean, you have to pay for the books. But I mean, there's a service to where you actually pay and you get like special stuff.
I saw somebody walking around with a Ravenclaw shirt.
What?
I know, that's stupid. Like, you're just trying to be different. No one likes Ravenclaw.
Yeah, there's really only two houses you could wear.
If they really wanted to be ridiculed, they'd wear Hufflepuff.
Right. Hufflepuff. What was Luna Lovegood? What was she?
She was Ravenclaw.
Maybe they liked Luna.
Nobody likes Luna.
I do.
You don't.
She likes Gryffindor because she made that sick-ass lion hat.
Yeah. She doesn't even like fucking Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
You know who likes Luna? Neville likes Luna.
That slutbag Cho was in Ravenclaw. She broke Harry's heart.
That's true.
Freak her. And Ravenclaw.
So, the new thing that J.K. Rowling wrote was just, like, a newspaper article about the Quidditch World Cup final, but written ostensibly by Ginny and Rita Skeeter. So yeah, for people who really like Harry Potter, I'm sure that was very exciting.
Have any of you read it?
I started reading it. It's not particularly gripping.
Yeah, but since it's the first actual piece of any kind of new Harry Potter story,
that's true.
That isn't like some sort of bizarre prequel from generations before, it's really working the fans up into a lather.
Yeah.
And they're speculating that there's going to be some big news dropping soon about the possibility of more books or stories taking place where we get to see a middle-aged Harry Potter in his life as an Auror.
No.
I don't know how true that is. That's just speculation that I have seen online.
She is done with Harry Potter, she says. She wouldn't lie to us. As she writes Fantastic Beasts, Where to Find Them,
right.
And this little short story, and is already talking about writing another book.
Well, that Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was written a long time ago.
Yeah, but she's going to turn it into like, this whole new series. Like, it's not like a one-off, like the little short story. Like, it's
the Beetle Bard thingy?
Yeah, she wrote Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, like, shortly after Goblet of Fire. But at the same time, she wrote, like, the Quidditch rules and stuff. And then this is going to be more about not so much the textbook, but about the person who wrote the textbook.
Mm-hmm.
And his adventures at Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. He's probably got a scar.
I think it's his adventures, like, while he was writing that book.
Yeah. Right, like Croc Hunter kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
totally. Exactly, like Steve Irwin style.
Did you guys watch The Strain last night?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I did not.
Yay. What'd you think?
It wasn't bad. It was better than I thought it was going to be. I think the world is kind of iffy on vampires right now, but this is a new breed of vampires, so that's kind of cool. Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. I guess you can call them like a symbiont of sorts, where there's these worms that kind of reanimate these people, and that they feast on the blood, basically. Kind of interesting. Aside from that big old man-bat squid face guy that's super strong, crushes the guy's head. That was kind of gnarly. But, no, it's good.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I want to see the next episode. I mean, that's more than what I can say for The Leftovers. I hated that show. I'm eager to see more of The Strain.
Tired of vampires. They can all go back to whence they came.
But, you know, like, the way that they're treating vampires is very different. You know, they're not emo-y. They're literal monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that creepy giant vampire guy,
mm-hmm.
Like I was reading on the website, he's, like, referred to as the master. So, Buffy, call back.
Yeah. And speaking of Harry Potter, Filch is in it, too. He's like a Van Helsing kind of guy.
He's really good.
Yeah.
I like him.
Me too.
So, if you guys are fans of Harry Potter, you can see Filch go all badass on vampires.
Yeah, and it's got a Dracula vibe to it, like with that wicked, gnarly coffin crate thing. Some kind of old world from, you know, East Germany, basically.
Yeah.
The only thing I knew about the show was that the ad campaign was offensive. That's right. All I had going into this whole show.
And that Del Toro was somehow involved.
Yes, that was all I knew.
And it was enough for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I like to give any show a shot. But it was interesting because we had tweeted about this show, and somebody said that it was terrible writing and that The Last Ship is way better.
I agree that the writing for the pilot is not particularly good, but that's not why I liked it. I wrote in my review that I kept wanting the characters to stop talking so that I could just watch the show, because they're terrible. The dialogue was awful. It's like, it's so melodramatic and silly, and like in the beginning when that one air traffic controller is like marveling at the size of the plane.
Oh, I know.
It's like a house with wings.
And then,
seriously?
And when he tapped the screen because the plane was moving. Holy shit, man, what a genius.
Like, wow, this guy is directing air traffic?
Yeah, definitely
no
has
bueno.
But yeah, I agree. I'm liking it for different reasons. I like the idea of this new take on vampires, and I'm curious to see where it goes. It's not going to have me for long, so they got to keep me interested.
Yeah, and I was interested enough, as long as nobody was saying anything.
Right, yeah, it was pretty terrible.
Except for Filch. Filch is pretty good.
Yeah, that guy's amazing. David Bradley, is that his name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at everything he does. I'm sad that he is as old as he is. I haven't enjoyed his acting talents for all these years. The man was born in 1942. And it's cool seeing him as a good guy.
Mm-hmm. For once.
Yeah, he was in this other movie called Harry Brown. I don't know if you ever saw that. That has Michael Caine in it as well. And he plays, like, this kind of older guy that's being bullied by some teenage gangsters and some...
Michael Caine's, like, a badass in it, right? Or a bad guy?
Yeah, what happens is Filch gets attacked, and then he avenges his friend.
Nice.
He ain't putting up no shit in his neighborhood no more.
This is my town.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have?
How about Batgirl? That's some fun news. They're redesigning her costume. Yeah. We all know that there's this sort of, there's definitely this image of female superheroes where they need to be drawn sexy, right? They wear like these crazy high heels and they have big old boobs and very tight outfits and they all look gorgeous, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's been that way for a long time, but, the practicality of their outfits is always comes into question. Like, how well could this outfit really protect you when fighting crime? So this new approach, I actually am quite fond of. It kind of reminds me of something that you would see in like a Kick-Ass movie, where someone could go to their local retailer, pick out some things, put a costume together. And in this case, it's kind of a leather jumpsuit of sorts. Her utility belt is definitely like a military style where it clips on both the waist and around her legs. And she's wearing kind of like these combat boots, these Timberland kind of rubber boots, I guess you could say. And her cape has even got snap-on buttons, which is cool. So if someone grabs it, it could just pop right off. It's not the end of the world. She even has snaps on her gloves, so they're easy to come off. I dig it. I think it's the right way to go. Makes sense. And Randy was mentioning earlier that anybody could cosplay this outfit in no time, too, which is kind of cool. So expect to see some of these at Comic-Con. Maybe not so many this year, but definitely next year. What do you guys think? Do you guys like the new outfit?
I enjoy it. I think that I have my own issues about Batgirl and Robin and Nightwing and all of those books needing to go away is different than what we're talking about, but I like the new look. I mean, I mean, it's Batgirl. I'm still not going to buy an issue.
Right. Well, and there's the one picture where she's taking a selfie with, you know, her smartphone in a bathroom. I think this is also another way for comics. It's done very fashionable. Like, this would be on any girl's Twitter feed that's a teenager, basically. And I think that might be another way to branch out and just add more, I don't know, fans to the comic. You know, like reaching out, like, hey, all you crazy girls out there, look at how badass you can be as Batgirl. She's
all
just like you.
All you geek girls that are totally legit and not posers.
Yeah, and she looks like a girl. Like, you know, she's not like Batwoman. She looks like a teen in this photo. Or at least a very young Batgirl. Do you guys agree with that? Do you think
I agree with that? Mm-hmm. She looks like she could still be in high school,
right? That's interesting.
Or college, if Randy wants to talk dirty about her.
Right. Huzzah!
Huzzah!
YOLO!
It's like those password like things where like you give one response and you have to have the appropriate response. So the response to huzzah is YOLO, I guess.
If you guys are gonna say a word I hate, I might as well throw one back. It'll cancel it out.
I don't hate YOLO. That's how I live my life.
Two negatives equal a positive.
I want to get a hat and write YOLO on it.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see what the fan response is to this. Do people like it or do they hate it? I personally dig it. I do think it's kind of weird that she is young. I definitely like the outfit. I think that's an interesting choice to draw her to look so young. But whatever. It is what it is.
Comic fans will love it. People who don't read comics will be like, oh, it's so stupid.
Do you think comic book fans will like it? You don't think they're going to be like, why are they going to change stuff?
Nah, it's Batgirl. It's not like they redesigned, like, the Batsuit.
Right. Batman's poor. So now he's got a hobo suit.
He's like in drag.
Yeah.
Like, he has to wear the old Batgirl suit.
What about you, Amanda? How do you feel about this Bat costume?
I think it's cool. I'd wear that. I'd cosplay in that outfit. It's very utilitarian, looks really comfortable.
Practical. It makes sense.
Yeah. It's not ridiculous looking.
You're going out to fight crime, you grab the functional costume, not the 8-inch high heels, mini skirt, and push-up bra.
Sliding down the pole, it's hard to put the bra on.
Oh, the bat pole.
Yeah. Come on.
I went two other
poles. Whoa.
Let's be adult about this, guys.
I admit I'm a little bit behind on my Batgirl. I don't know what Barbara Gordon's day job is.
I think she's a mooch.
Yeah, she doesn't have to do anything. She's like good friends with like Oliver Queen and Bruce Wayne.
She's still getting disability checks from when she was shot and in a wheelchair.
So do we have a geek of the week this week?
We do, and this is kind of a... that's a lot of weeks. This one's kind of fun, actually. Our geek of the week this week is Mr. George R.R. Martin himself. And that is because of a fun little interview he did for a Swiss newspaper where the interviewer asked him what he thought about fans speculating that he might die before he has a chance to finish his popular Game of Thrones series. And we have discussed this at length on our podcast and just amongst ourselves personally. We know this is a question that's on everybody's lips. And apparently Mr. Martin is sick of hearing it. And he responded by, one, flipping off that camera, which is a great image that's just kind of swarming around the internet right now. And then his quote immediately afterwards is, I find that question pretty offensive when people start speculating about my death and my health, so fuck you to those people. As he was flipping the bird to the camera. So that is apparently what he thinks of his naysaying fans who believe he's going to die before finishing the series.
Aww.
But seriously, we're just concerned about the man's health.
And about I want him to take a long time so that the show catches up and passes him, and his book will have to say, based on the HBO original series Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Or it'll have artwork from the show on it.
Exactly.
You know, we're all very vocal about our opinions of people who don't treat their fans very well, and you can go to YouTube and type in George R. Martin, and like every interview is just dripping with like, fuck my fans, like it's great you like my stuff, but just go fuck yourself. And you know, it just gets old after a while. You know, even if you don't want to be appreciative of your fans, you know, you shouldn't openly be hostile to them. And sure you might get asked the same question over and over, but that's what happens when you go on like press junkets. Like Game of Thrones is premiering in Europe, so that's what he's doing. He's promoting the show. He's going to get the same questions over and over and over and over. And if he can't handle it, he just needs to not go on the tour. I'll get off my soapbox now. I just say, don't be a dick to your fans. Like, you know, you can like not be happy about the question. You know, obviously no one wants to talk about, you know, I'm a fat fuck and I'm gonna die, but I mean have some class and decorum. I mean, maybe it's just because getting old, like, because I've noticed like with like my dad and like, you know, my uncles and stuff like that, like they seemed a lot more reserved when they were younger, and now they're just like older and they're like, ah, fuck it, I don't care what anyone thinks of me anymore, I'll go complain or do something crotchety like out of the blue for no reason. Maybe he's at that stage of his life.
That definitely comes with aging. I've seen that in my own father. They get crotchety, and they're just kind of like an overall attitude of fuck it.
Yeah, maybe.
My opinion matters. They're going to listen to me whether they want to or not.
That's right.
Well, he's also a human being, and I'm sure he gets harassed with questions about his health a lot. And I imagine, you know, at a certain point, you're just like, I don't want to fucking deal with this anymore.
I feel like we need a sound effect when Geek of the Week is over.
Okay. What do you want it to be?
I have no idea.
A gong.
Like a, with like a Geek of the Week.
Huzzah!
YOLO!
And you have a list for us as well, right, Randy?
I do indeed. This one comes courtesy of Listverse, and we are looking at the 10 popular movie franchises that are probably ripoffs.
Ooh.
I like how it's labeled probably.
Don't want to get sued.
Yeah, exactly. Allegedly ripoff. So number 10 on the list.
I can't wait for... Sorry.
This isn't just films. This is just properties, just franchises in general that are copies. Number 10 is Sherlock Holmes. And it is it bears a striking resemblance to a French character, C. Auguste Dupin, who is a French genius created by Edgar Allan Poe. He actually has a lot of the same mannerisms and the same predilection for consulting with the police on crimes. And the story is told from the point of view of an unnamed Watson-like sidekick.
Hmm.
So that's kind of interesting.
So he's a detective. So Poe owns all detective stories.
Well, I mean, if it really depends on the characteristics of the detective in question.
He smokes a pipe and wears the hat. It's a ripoff, I think.
There you go. Okay.
That's where I draw the line.
Number nine on the list is Lord of the Rings. It bears a striking resemblance to a lesser-known German play, and I'm not going to try to pronounce the name in German, but in English it is The Ring of Nibelung, also called The Ring Cycle by Wagner, Richard Wagner. And at one point in time during Tolkien's life, he was kind of criticized for saying that, hey, isn't this just like this old German play? And he was famously quoted as saying, well, both rings were round, and that's where the resemblance ceases. But it wasn't really true, because the ring in the play also granted the wearer invisibility and gave them great power. And let's see. And it eventually could drive them mad. So it sounds very similar to me.
I don't see him taking credit for those shitty Hobbit movies.
Yeah, well, that's nothing but Tolkien.
Yeah, they're like, oh, no, that was all him.
Number eight on the list, Disney's Lion King, regarded as probably one of the greatest Disney films ever made, is actually just a retelling of Hamlet. We all kind of knew that, though.
All Disney movies are retellings of some other story.
I concur.
Yeah.
Here's one that you may not have known. Number eight, A Fistful of Dollars. It's actually very similar to a samurai film called Yojimbo. It is almost a scene-for-scene reshoot of the samurai epic.
I think Sergio Leone's admitted that, though.
Yeah, a lot of these are admitted, as you'll see as we get further down the list. They're not hiding it, but this is just stuff that the general movie-going audience probably isn't going to know. But there's a lot of similarity between the spaghetti westerns and samurai films, I think. But we'll get more onto that later.
Like Hidden Fortress?
Yeah, we'll get much more into that one later. All right, number six on the list, The Shawshank Redemption.
What?
It shares a suspicious number of elements with Leo Tolstoy's short story, God Sees the Truth But Waits. Man, my tongue is tied tonight.
Sweet, I'll be over in a second.
Okay, this one's fun. Number five, Aragon. The first book in the series.
That was a fun pause.
Has a lot in common with the first Star Wars movie, and a lot of stuff in Lord of the Rings thrown in for good measure.
Oh, that's the dragon books?
It's the dragon books. This one is a connection that we have all drawn. Number four, Avatar. Number one, Pocahontas.
Wait, was Avatar, is that like Ferngully?
Yeah, exactly. That's one of them. Ferngully, Pocahontas, and Dances with Wolves. And James Cameron has admitted to drawing upon many of those as inspiration, as well as a film called At Play in the Fields of the Lord. Number three, this is the one that David was hinting about earlier, Star Wars. And George Lucas has openly admitted many parallels between the Star Wars universe and the 1958 Japanese film by Akira Kurosawa called The Hidden Fortress. And the one of the biggest similarities that people will note is there are two relatively insignificant characters that end up having a large impact on the course of the story. And that's very similar to R2-D2 and C-3PO. They're kind of bickering with each other back and forth, just like the droids do. So it's kind of neat. I actually, a number of years ago, went out of my way to find a copy of The Hidden Fortress and watched it just because I appreciated Star Wars so much. And it's been so long, I don't remember a goddamn thing about it. But I remember thinking it didn't suck. So there's a glowing review for you. That's why I don't write reviews. Number two, Hunger Games. We've talked about this one before. Blatant ripoff of Battle Royale. And we don't need to say any more about that. Number one, and this is something I've heard you guys comment on, because you're a little bit more comic book savvy than myself. Captain Marvel, total ripoff of Superman. And that's it. That's number one on our list.
I was muted from like number eight to number two, and I'm like talking. I'm like, why are they talking over me? What's going on?
I was wondering why it went so quick. That's great. In and out.
Frank Oz directed that, you know, he was Yoda.
Oh, yeah, with Kevin Kline and Magnum P.I., Tom Selleck, Mr. Stash.
Yeah.
He invented the mustache.
He did.
Uptown all the way.
Big time. I fucking love Tom Selleck.
He hated Rosie O'Donnell before it was cool to hate Rosie O'Donnell.
I know. You know what's funny is Tarzan is now on Netflix, and I don't even want to watch it because she's a gorilla voice.
Yeah.
She bugs me.
She's obnoxious in it, too.
She's playing the same character from A League of Their Own. She's just like that kind of bouncer.
Dolores?
Bar. Yeah.
It's not all the way Maine. It's not Dottie. It's not Dottie's sister. Or Marla Hooch. What a hitter.
Yeah, Betty Spaghetti.
I watched League of Their Own like 2 weeks ago, and it just was amazing. It totally holds up.
You know what's funny is that you could make the argument that Lori Petty is an attractive woman, and in the 90s, right? She has a certain way about her that makes her attractive. She's got unique features. She pulls off the short hair, whatever. Yeah. But when she was in Orange is the New Black, I feel like I haven't seen the woman in 20 years. And that's just one of those things where it caught me off guard. I was like, holy smokes, dude. You were like, she just looked like one of those before and after for the meth mouth photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like she looked in the Ark.
Yeah. I wasn't prepared for that. I'm going to say it was all Hollywood hocus pocus motion capture that made her look like that, and I'll leave that.
I think that's how she looks. She was on an episode of House a few years ago, and she didn't look that much different. Man. But she's also sick on House too, so right. I don't know.
Yeah, I was watching True Lies the other day, and just amazed at how good Jamie Lee Curtis looks in it.
Oh yeah,
she's all stripping and dancing and cavorting.
Nothing wrong with it.
No judgment. Is it no judgment zone?
It is. Thought we were in a little trust tree in the nest. I like Jamie Lee Curtis. I like a lot of her movies. I didn't see the Freaky Friday though with her.
Lohan.
I'm trying to think of what the last Jamie Lee Curtis movie was that I saw. It might have been like H2O or something. What is she? Has she done anything recently?
Not that much. She does, like, the yogurt that makes you poop commercials. Like Activia or whatever it is.
Activia?
Sure. The ones that make you have to go to the bathroom.
Well, who wants that?
I don't know. My kid accidentally won it when it was at my aunt's house. It was a nightmare in the bathtub, let me tell you. Just saying that stuff works.
Was he minding his own business and then it happened? Or was he Yeah, it was so much that the toilet wasn't working, so you moved him to the bathtub.
No, he was taking his bath, and all of a sudden he's like, I gotta go. And then, in the time it took me to, like, reach for him to put him on the pot, like, he just exploded.
That is awesome.
Yeah, well, we think, she's like, oh, I have some yogurt, so we didn't think anything of it. And so, because, you know, he loves yogurt, he's eating it, he's having a good time. You know, 25 minutes later, we're home, we got him in the bath. He's like, I gotta go. Yo, okay, here we go, and then whoosh.
That's awesome. He's gotta eat the Yo Platts.
I guess.
Not the other one. Not the Jamie Lee Curtis one.
The problem is that the kids don't have problems.
Man, I remember one time Randy and I, when we go to fucking Frankenstein's, we got this awesome idea to go to Tommy's once. And I drove so fast home because my stomach was losing it. And then, of course, there was no parking spots. And I had to park across the street. Remember in Fountain Valley when you had to park across the fucking street and go through the traffic light and all that crap to get to the house? Oh, my God. And the damn thing wouldn't turn. And it was a busy street, so it's not like I could run across the street. So I had to wait and wait and wait and wait. I'm tucking in my stomach. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is terrible. And then I still had to go up steps to get to my apartment. It was brutal.
She's like, I'm not going to make it. I'm just going to go in the bushes.
I wish I did. I would have been a happier person. It was dark. I could have got away with it. Instead, I was uncomfortable for several minutes. Didn't like it.
You're uncomfortable.
And then just the bliss of release.
Yeah. That's the funny thing.
Oh.
You can just go to the bathroom and feel, like, amazing afterwards. I love that. At least boys can. I don't know about girls. But once you leave the bathroom, you're fine.
I think it's a universal thing.
I hope so. Everyone deserves to feel that good.
Seriously.
I wouldn't deny it on anyone. What a fun podcast.
Yay.
About potty and pooping yogurt. And
we should all eat one and see who can hold it the longest.
What?
We'll make a pot. Well, like, not a chamber pot, but like dollars. Like ante. Like, we all throw in $5. Whoever goes last wins.
We'll do it at Comic-Con.
We should do that at Comic-Con.
Let's do it.
Actually, in person.
We'll try to get Tim and Tony and Andy and everyone else there to Jordan to do it.
Yeah, and then we'll go to Mexico and get some Viagra and come back and see whose erection can last the longest.
Oh, shit. Now you're talking about language. We have to go to the hospital.
No. I don't go to Mexico.
Why not?
It's a bad place.
Because of Mexicans?
Because
you're a big guy. They could haul you out and put a lot of drugs in you.
You'd make quite the mule.
Yes.
I would.
Los burros. Way.
Terrible. Terrible. I'm physically squirming in my seat right now.
That's it for another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Thanks for joining us, and you can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook, and don't forget to listen to our other podcast, Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Steve and Jane, and the Comic Corner Podcast with Tyler and Jeff. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.